2 Kings chapter 12, and we will be reading from verses 1 through 3. And it is our custom to stand for the reading of the word. And so if you are able to stand, we do ask that you can. If you are not, we understand. But if you can, we do ask if you could stand for the reading of the word. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. I want to read verses 2 and 3 one more time. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, The Enemy in the Backyard. The Enemy in the Backyard. Praise God. Just as Pastor was alluding to earlier, that the enemy is warring against us. This theme that we have for this month is spiritual warfare. And so we must be mindful, we must be militant and proactive, even as we are about to get into the word. And because the enemy will try to do whatever he can to distract you from hearing this word. So I need you to agree with me as we go to the Lord in prayer and we ask his blessing upon this word today. Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we bless your name, we exalt you, we extol you, we position ourselves, our hearts and our minds, readying ourselves to receive of your precious holy word. I pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God would dispel, disperse and scatter everything that's unlike you, any high thing that it exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We bring into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. We command there to be release in the name of Jesus. We command there to be liberty and to be freedom in the house today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now in advance for the victory that we are going to see in this place as we wage war against the enemy who is fighting against us. And oh God, we give you glory because you have caused us to triumph. And we glorify you, we exalt you, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen. You may be seated. I might as well just take my coat off. I'm already sweating. So, this has been a challenging week. One of spiritual warfare. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken through our pastor in rightly choosing the theme for this month of warfare. It has seemed that this week, just alone, there's been great demonic activity and satanic attack that even just last weekend, one of my closest friends, Eric, who you all know, Brother Eric and Sister Jen, he suffered severe stomach pain and they had to be rushed to the emergency room. And they found that is the lining on his gallbladder was thin and that his stomach was in very, very bad shape. And something that was unrelated, they found two spots on his lungs and he was in the hospital and that he'd been fighting that particular ailment all week. And then, as you know, on Monday that my sister-in-law suffered what sounds like a mini stroke, and that she was in between Fort Wayne and Benton Harbor with two children in the back of the van, and where she completely went blind. And she managed to text me and said to pray, and I was at work at the time, and I left my work, and I went to my car, and I went into warfare. And for a good solid 30 minutes, began to just come against this and rebuke it in Jesus' name and praying in the Spirit and commanding there to be released. And she said that it went away and that she was healed. However, that she had a headache. And then, so I went and prayed some more. And then she said, the headache's gone. But then, now my arm is numb. And just one thing after another. The whole day I was in warfare praying. And we would solve one problem, another problem would happen. I said, this sounds like it's demonic. This is not just some accident or happenstance. And it was late in the night and I was taking a shower and I was praying in tongues in the shower. I said, Lord, I need to see into the spiritual realm. I need to see what we're fighting so that we can fight, we can kill this thing. And that night the Lord gave me a dream. And the dream was disturbing to say the least. And in the dream, I was back at my house in Benton Harbor. It was not the house that my parents currently own. It was the house before that house that was on that same property. It had burned down previously, which is why we had the new house. The house that I grew up in as a child. And I was walking through the dining room towards the kitchen. There was someone that was with me, but I'm unsure as to who it was. And I looked on the ground. And on the ground, there was a snake. But the snake was dead. It looked like just the skin of the snake, just a shell. was brown and its skin, the scales were rotting away and falling off of the body. Next to it was one of my slippers, which was very strange. And something compelled me to pick up both items. And as I did pick up the items, the snake came to life. It turned green and it began to shriek and writhe in my arm. It entangled itself in my arm and a demonic presence took over my body. I felt compelled to go to the backyard of my house. There was a sliding glass door that was by the dining room. I opened the door and when I looked outside, it was like winter. There was snow that was on the ground. In the backyard, at the very, very end of the backyard and from the patio, there's a fence that separates my parents' property from our neighbors. At the back of the fence, there was an idol, a 9-foot snake, coiled up like in a striking position, like a rattlesnake, made out of bronze or some sort of bronze metal. This demonic presence drove me to the idol, to the statue. And then the snake fully grabbed hold on me, and I lost my mind for a few moments, and I went temporarily insane, shrieking in horror, writhing on the ground, trying to regain control of this demonic presence. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, pray in the Spirit. And I began to pray in tongues and rebuke the spirit of, that was fighting against me. And as I prayed, the snake released its grip. And I grabbed the snake by the tail and I flung it and I swung it at the idol. And then I took off running back to my house. But I noticed that I still had the slipper in my hand. And something said, go back and throw the slipper at the snake. So I went back and I threw the slipper at the snake. And then I ran for my life to the house. When I reached the house, I suddenly woke up in the middle of the night. I said, Lord, what on earth does this dream mean? How does this have to do with my sister-in-law? He said, it doesn't. It has to do with you. I said, what do you mean it has to do with me? Then he took me to Matthew 7:3. Matthew 7:3 popped up in my heart. I want you to see this. Matthew 7:3. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. The Lord said to me, you can't see into the spirit properly to remove the mote or the speck from someone else's eye until you remove the beam from your own eye. He said, there's something in your own backyard, there's something in your spirit, something in your life that is preventing you from really having success in warring against the enemy. Then the Lord took me through the dream, and I went back through the dream, and I saw the dead snake. And the Lord said, the dead snake represented an old desire to sin that I'd killed in the past. And then the scripture came to me, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, as he was showing me the snake. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Hebrew word there for bruise is the word shuf, which means to crush or to break. And this is a messianic passage referring to how Christ would crush the head of the serpent. And the Lord said unto me, he said, you had a sinful desire from your past that you crushed and that you killed, but it's coming back to life again. He then showed me again that the object of the believer is to keep the enemy under our feet. The Bible says in Psalm 91:13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said that you better be careful because there's something in your heart that's leading you to something that will destroy you. And then when I looked at the slipper, when I first saw the slipper, I thought this represented the weapon that I used to crush the snake. But the Lord said, no, that isn't what it represents. Instead, it represents the steps that you took to walk into that sin. And then this scripture popped in my spirit. Psalm 119:133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over you, over me. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In Psalm 119:5, the Bible says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And he said, although you killed this thing, you're becoming apathetic. You're becoming complacent. And the desire is coming back. And it's leading you. You're taking steps back to this thing. Although you killed this enemy, there is still an idol that is there that you have not completely destroyed and torn down. And because of that, you will never walk in prominence. You'll never be successful. You'll never be prosperous. You'll never be able to fully wage war against the enemy. The Bible says in Galatians 2:18, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." The idol represented the sin. It represented Satan's dominion. And if you notice that the idol was at the back of the fence representing God's provision, God's righteousness, God's place for my life, and the idol was pulling me towards the fence, trying to get me to leave where God wanted me to be. And the Bible tells me in Ephesians 2:2, it says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He said that the enemy has a foothold on you, and the enemy cannot have any dominion over you. Because any place where the enemy has dominion over you is a vulnerability and is a place where the enemy can destroy and kill and steal from you. And he said, you cannot wage war in the spirit until you first wage war against your flesh and cast down the idols. The thing I want to talk about today is a sin that we don't hear preached about very often. Is idolatry. It is the most predominant sin in the world. A matter of fact, I would even argue that it was the first motivation to sin. When you look in Genesis chapter 3, and when you see where Satan is talking to Eve, and he says that if you eat this fruit, he said that you will be like, you'll become gods. Idolatry. Every time the nation of Israel was defeated was because of idolatry. Every time God's judgment fell was because they were esteeming something above God, and that idol had dominion over their life, and because of that, they fell into sin. It's getting real quiet now, isn't it? There are idols that are in our lives, that are in our backyard. It was in my backyard because I didn't want to look at it. It wasn't in the front yard where everyone could see it. It was in the backyard. Suddenly having dominion over me. And this thing was trying to pull me away. James 4:4 says this, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The fact of the matter is that this month's theme is warfare. And you cannot fight the devil in your flesh until you first submit and surrender unto God. In the book of Joshua, when the children of Israel were going to fight against Jericho, he said, "I want you to be circumcised. I want you to have a day of fasting and consecration unto me and get under my presence and get in my word." It says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That you need to submit and surrender yourself unto God, and make sure that nothing has dominion over you. And when you do that, and you walk in my spirit, you'll be able to conquer all the power of the enemy. And the fact of the matter is that too long we've been fighting by our carnal nature, fighting with human wisdom and enticing words, fighting with human ideas and philosophies. We need to get into the Spirit of God and surrender and kill and cast down every idol, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. I want to go back to my scripture text. I'm going to show you something. As the Lord dealt with me, I couldn't sleep all night as the Lord began dropping these verses in my spirit. 2 Kings 12:1, "In the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign, And 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Ziba'iah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So Jehoash was a good king. If you read through the book of Kings, you'll find that they had a lot of wicked kings. And it's very rare to find a king that was actually good, that pleased God. Jehoash was a good king. He pleased God in what he did. However, he had one problem. Verse 3. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. The high places were places of idol worship. There were elevated places where groves and trees were grown and altars were made to worship idols and devils and demonic spirits. And the thing I want to point out to you is this. We can be doing all the right things, praying, fasting, reading the word of God, coming to church, and still have a high place or an altar unto an idol in our lives. This man pleased God. God was pleased with him, but he never tore down the idols. As the king, he had the sovereign right and the duty to remove all the idolatry out of the way. The first commandment that God gave in the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. It was his commandment. It was his mandate to destroy the idols that were there. But he ignored it. And you're going to find out that it cost him. You can be doing all the right things, but still have an idol. Look at this in Ezekiel 23:37. They have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands. And with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbath. Now look at verse 39 says, for when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus had they done in the midst of mine house. So they went, they were worshiping idols. They left the idolatry, and then they came into the house of God and worshiped God as if everything was okay. As if everything was all right. And I tell you the truth, church, we will not walk in God's fullness, his promise, and his victory until we destroy the idols. Whatever it is, whatever that thing is standing in the place where God ought to be standing, whatever that thing is that has dominion over your life, that when you are given a choice to choose God or it, that you keep falling to it, you've got to destroy it. You've got to tear it down. You've got to get rid of it. I don't know who this is for. Really, it's for the whole church, because all of us got idols in our house. All of us have something. It may be your job. It may be a marriage. It may be a relationship. It may be your children. Whatever it is, God has got to be number one. God said, I won't share my glory with another. There's neither a God formed before me nor after me. Neither is there God beside me. I alone am God. I alone deserve worship. I alone have dominion. Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It's time to clean house. You look at almost every Bible story, there is some idolatry that's there that ruins the whole thing. And until they remove the idols, there will not be full victory. Point number two, I want to talk about Jehoash. Jehoash did according to what the priest Jehoiada told him to do. Now, there's two realities that's here. Either one, the priest didn't tell him to destroy the high places, or two, Jehoash didn't listen. So we got two problems here that are possible. I don't know which one. One, we have a problem that the priests, the men of God, are not commanding the people of God to sanctify themselves and to walk holy and righteously before him and to cast down the idols. And so because of that the church of God is not victorious. The church of God is not succeeding. The church of God is not moving forward because they have an idol in their house and no one's warning them about it. Number two, either that or the men of God are preaching the word of God, but y'all just don't want to listen. You hear, thus saith the Lord. You hear God said, don't do that. Thou shalt not touch this. Thou shalt get away from this. But no, I don't want to hear that.
You want some nice sermon to tickle your ears and placate you and make you feel prosperous and make you feel good instead of getting back to repentance and sacrificing yourself and laying at the altar before God and getting in the Spirit of God. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, what if our gospel be hid? It is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That the thing is, the fact of the matter is, the men of God, the people of God, need to preach the word, and preach the word in season, preach the word under the Spirit of God, that to destroy the blindings of the enemy. Now it shows them this real crazy. Look at this, 1 Samuel 15:23. I want you to see this. In this story, this is Samuel rebuking Saul for not waiting for him to offer sacrifice unto God. Look what Samuel says unto Saul. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We stop there. Look what the next part says. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Look what he says here. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Stubbornness is the same as idolatry. How many times are you going to come to church and hear the word of God being preached and still remain in your sin? How long will you stay and cling to your idols and cling to that sin? Stubbornness is as idolatry, the Bible says. A stiff-necked people that will not submit and surrender themselves completely and totally to God. Not a shouting message, but y'all need to get this word. You need to get this word in your spirit. You wonder why you keep losing. You wonder why the devil keeps beating you. Because you keep dancing and sleeping with the devil. Praise God. Praise God. Number three. If you don't destroy the high places, the enemy will steal the things that God has given you. The little foxes that spoil the vine. If you don't contend with this thing, it will undermine the position that God has appointed you to. I want you to look at the life of Jehoash. He was a good king, one that loved God, one that pleased God. But look what happened to him because he let the high places stay. 2 Kings 12:10. I want you to see this. And it was so when they saw that there was much money in the chests, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house. And they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work and that had oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it upon the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord and to masons and hewers of stone and to buy timber and huge stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. And for all that was laid out for the house to repair. It was Jehoash who ordered this. Joash wanted to start a building program. He said, I want to repair the breaches of the house of God. Let's get money into the house of God. Let's give it, let's store some money so we can repair the house. Let's build the house of God. You see, he had a good heart. This was his idea to do this. He told the priest, stop taking any money, put it towards the house of God. Now, look at this. I want you to see this. Right after he had finished repairing the house of God and put money, there's money and refurnished everything into the temple, the enemy came against him. Look at verse 17 in the same chapter. Verse 17. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael sent his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things, the holy things, that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his father's kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord, and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Do you see what happened here? So he was dedicating things to God's house. He was building God's house. He put treasures into God's house. But as soon as the enemy came, he took all the hallowed things, the holy righteous things of God, and gave it to the enemy so the enemy would not fight against him. Do you know what Jehoash means? It means given, Jehovah given, or given by the Lord. His name means I've gotten something from the Lord. God has given and invested in me. Hazael means one who sees God. And the fact of the matter is, the enemy sees God, and he sees, as Mary says, the God in you. He sees God in you, and he wants what you have. And because that Jehoash did not have the intimate relationship with God in the way that it was supposed to be, because of these idols, when attack came, he gave the hollow things to the enemy. Compare him with Hezekiah. Turn with me to 2 Kings 18:3. I want you to see this. Hezekiah, who was also king of Judah after him. Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 18:3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places. He got rid of the altars and the idolatry, and break the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. I want to just comment on that just for a minute. The fact of the matter is, the children of Israel had a brazen serpent. If you know your Bible, in the book of the law, that the children of Israel had sinned against God, and God sent a plague of fiery serpents to bite them. And then God instructed Moses to build a bronze staff with a bronze serpent on it, and anyone who looked at the serpent was healed. And the fact of the matter is, that in this time where Hezekiah was, people began worshiping the staff more than worshiping God. And you see that in the church. You see people of God flocking to a minister, worshiping a prophet or apostle or this gift or that gift, instead of worshiping God the giver and worshiping he who has all authority and all power. And you know what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah destroyed it. He said, nothing is going to share God's glory. No man is going to take God's glory. No object is going to stand in the place of the sovereign almighty God. And what's funny is this. Hezekiah found himself in the exact same position as Jehoash. An enemy came. After he, just in the same chapter, after he tore down all these high places, the enemy came. Look at this. In, actually in 2 Kings chapter 18, it talks about it. I don't have it in my notes. But in this story, the king of Assyria besieged Jerusalem and surrounded it and threatened Hezekiah and said that, you know, we fought against other nations. And they've trusted in their gods, and we beat them just the same. Don't trust in your God. You might as well give up. We'll make it easy on you. Now look at Hezekiah's reaction compared to Jehoash's reaction. Look at 2 Kings 19, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard this threat, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the house of the Lord. He did not give the treasures over to the enemy to pacify. Oh, please, not in the face. No, don't hit me. No, please, leave. Just back off a little bit. No, instead, he went to God and he said, God, I'm your servant. God, I know that you love me. God, I trust in you. I put my trust in you and not in man. God, you've got to do something about it. And you know what God said to Hezekiah? Verse 32 of this same chapter. The Bible says this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city. Nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 145,000. 145,000. And when they arose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. You see the difference between Jehoash and Hezekiah? One placated the enemy. One said, I'm going to God, and God handled the enemy. Do not give up the hollow things, the treasures that God has put in this earthen vessel. Do not sacrifice the holy and the righteous things that God has put inside of you and give them up to the enemy. The fact of the matter is that the enemy is fighting you because your prayers are too hot for him. Your walk with God is too strong for him. So he's going to come against you with everything he's got to try and intimidate you. But you're going to stand your ground and say, no, devil, you're not going to have what I have. The word of God says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm not going to let the devil have what God gave me. I've sweat too much. I prayed too hard. I've gone through too much hell and high water to let you come into my house and take my stuff. No, in the name of Jesus, I come against you right now and I cast you out. Psalm 68 verse 1 says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let them that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. I'm not going to let the enemy intimidate ye. I'm not going to let him intimidate me. When you see, Jehoash wasn't completely trusting in God. Hezekiah was. Hezekiah means Jehovah has strengthened. His strength comes from God alone. When you war in the flesh, you will fail every time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ, every stray thought, every word of doubt, every negative thing spoken against me. You got to bring that thing into captivity. Don't let it stay in your house. Don't let it stay in your mind. Don't let it stay in your heart. You've got to uproot that thing and fight with that thing. If we got to fight, then let's fight, baby. Let's get the gun out, let's get the knives out, and let's go to war. Let's go to war. Nothing is going to stand in my way. Nothing is going to sit in my heart where God ought to be sitting. The Bible says that God sitteth upon the circle of the earth, that is enthroned between the cherubims, that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. Yet God by his omnipotence, God by his mercy, God by his grace, decided to dwell in sinful man. And you think I'm going to let you, devil, take the place where God himself is enthroned in me? God values me. God values me that he will leave heaven and earth and sit in my heart to live forever. It's time, church. It's time, church. You've got to kill the idols. Kill the idols. Whether it's money, whether it's a job, whatever it is, it cannot have the place where God is sitting. When the high places are gone, we are completely trusting in God. And he fights the battle for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything. Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. I'm going to make this hit home just for a second. When the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, Lord, my daughter is possessed with the devil. Jesus wasn't trying to hear all that. He said, Lord, my daughter is vexed with the devil. You please hear me. And he said, I'm only sent to the house of Israel. And I don't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs of the table. I want to tell you something. The children's bread includes healing. The children's bread is God's word. For Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John 6:63, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life, the children's bread. Now look what the verse says here. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. The Syrophoenician woman just wanted the crumbs that fell from the Lord's table. The sad thing is, you guys are eating crumbs from the devil's table. And then that's all God's got for you. The devil's table is bread of doubt and unbelief that said that you can't win. That there's no way you'll get the victory. But if you eat from the Lord's table, the Lord said that he prepared the table in the presence of mine enemies. The children's bread gives me victory that I'll never hunger nor thirst anymore. And you can't be drinking from both cups. One moment you trust God. The other moment you're down, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. No, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make up your mind. I believe this word over any circumstance, over any situation. I'm going to die with this word if I have to. Go in a grave if I have to over this word. Don't you dare tell me that this word is not true. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Let God be true and every man a liar. Better kill that thing. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We need holiness. We need righteousness. If you're going to go into warfare this month, you better kill some idols. You better start tearing some things down. Don't let the devil intimidate you to give of the hallowed things that God put inside of his tabernacle, inside of his temple. Certain people that were music ministers or great singers, they left the church because it got too hard and gave their treasures to the devil and started singing in the world because they got intimidated, because they couldn't take it anymore. Do not let the devil intimidate you. You've got to cling to God with everything that you have. Yesterday I was in warfare. My friend Eric, as I told you before, had been suffering from some sort of illness with his gallbladder, severe pain. He went to the doctor, had been fine for the most part during the week. Yesterday, I get a text from his wife saying the pain's back and it's bad. Real, real bad. I went into prayer as best I could. And there's a lot going on at the time. I was getting distracted. I couldn't really focus on what I wanted to do. And that's just how the devil is. When you really start trying to do something for God, he'll try and distract you with stuff that don't even matter. And finally, I just said, you know what? I gotta go in my prayer closet. I need to fight with this thing. And so I got on the phone with her. And I could hear Eric. He was just moaning. Sounded like he was in labor. He was in so much pain. And the thing is, we've been praying. And as we prayed, and I'd ask, is he healed yet? He said, no. She said, no, he's worse. I prayed some more. Began to curse that thing. Command to leave in Jesus' name. She said, no, it's worse. She's like, I don't know what to do. I was like, I know what to do. The devil's angry. The devil's angry, and I'm not going to let him win. There are times, you see, one of the problems with the church is y'all give up too easy. You think it's just one-two punch and it's done. You got to fight with that thing. If I got to go 12 rounds, I'm going 13 rounds. As Pastor said, one of us has got to go, and it sure enough ain't going to be me. It's going to be you. At the end of this day, one of us is going to be standing, and one of us is going to be on the floor, and it's going to be you, devil, because it's written that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. And I went down that thing. I got so mad. I said, you liar. You lying thing. How dare you stand against the power of the Almighty God? How dare you say that God is not healed? How dare you say that you can beat the sons of God? And we began to curse that thing. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't fight the devil with feelings and emotions. No, he said, it is written. So I got Psalm 91 out. And then when I got to the place where it says, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. When I got to that place in the Word, I felt some of my spirit break. And I asked him, I said, how you feel? He said, better. Better. I tell you, if you keep fighting, it was still there. And I heard his wife start to praise God. I said, that's it. That's it. Look at this. Look at this. Psalm 49 verse 5. We've been talking about high praises. How places, I mean. And if you need to have a high place, you need a high praise to tear that thing down. Psalm 149 verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And I said, Jen, Eric, let's praise God. Let's worship God like we lost our mind. Let's praise God because he's given us the victory. And I begin to say, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases. I said, unto him that sits upon the throne, to the only wise God, be both wisdom, dominion, and power, riches, and glory, and blessing. I said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest seal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and what is man, the son of man, that thou visitest him? I said, God omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Bishop of souls, the chief cornerstone, the true vine. He is the light of the world, the bread of life, the living water, the rock of all ages, the ancient of all days. He is my everything, my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? The strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? God is our refuge and our strength, and a present help in the time of trouble. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I said, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And I began to praise God and begin to dance before God like I lost my mind and something broke in my spirit, and the victory was won. Come on, somebody, get on your feet and you praise God like you know how to. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, Lord, you're worthy. You are worthy. I love you. You're worthy of all the praise and the glory. At sunrise, I rise and bless your name. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hey! Ha! Eric and Jen were at the hospital. They were sitting in their cars. And after we got done praising God, Eric got out of his car and he stood up and he said, I'm much better. There's no pain. I'm healed. It's time for the church of the living God to start tearing down the high places. It's time right now in the name of Jesus for you to come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's time in the name of Jesus for you to do your job and start opening your mouth and praising God. It's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Hey! You may be looking at me funny and wondering why I'm preaching so hard. I tell you the truth, that when that devil touched my friend, I got mad. And I said, I'm making a promise to you that I'm going to make the devil rue the day that he touched one of my friends. I'm going to make him pay for hurting one of my friends. And so come hell or high water, I'm going to preach God's word. I've come to fight with the enemy. I've not come to make peace with him. I've come to kick his behind with the Holy Ghost and power and send him back to hell from whence he came in the name of Jesus. I said, devil, you're going to pay for messing with me. You're going to pay for taking away my time. You're going to pay. You're going to give me back all that you stole. You're going to give it back now in the name of Jesus. Hey! You've got to fight the enemy in your backyard. Go back in your closet. Go back and get a shovel and dig out the sin. I hear the word of God say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Try my reins, see where I'm at, O God. But thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, I need you in my life today. Order my steps in your word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I said, I'm mad. I'm mad as heaven, not as hell. Because hell doesn't have the rage of the righteous indignation of our God. The devil doesn't have the power that we have in the name of Jesus. I gotta quit. Gotta quit. If you're tired of the devil doing a two-step over your life, it's time for you to get mad and start fighting with him and grab the weapons of your warfare. Grab the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. Grab the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Grab the helmet of salvation, for it is written, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Put on the loins of truth, which is God's truth that will keep you from falling into the lies of the enemy. We got to put on the shoes of peace and walk in the peace of God in the name of Jesus. Gotta quit. Gotta quit. It's time. It's time. Time. Hey! Little Baba Man, never did ever see Baba. I feel a praise break coming out. I feel a breakthrough coming through. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command release right now. I command the devil's the surrender right now. I command life and liberty right now. I command freedom in the name of Jesus. I command it now in Jesus' name. Come out of your spirit. Come out of where you are. Come out of where you are. And come into God's righteousness and his liberty. Come on, come on, push, 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 don't give up, don't give out, don't give under, for it is written, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Hey, come on, go ahead, we can go ahead and go there, look, come on, let's do this thing. Hey, why don't we just take a few moments? And just begin to praise God. And as you praise God, we tear down the idols of the enemy. Ashley, before we praise God, listen to me carefully. Before we praise God, you need to repent. Idols are in your house. Idols are in your house. Repent. God, whatever it is, show it to me now. Show me the idol that's in the backyard and give me the power to tear it down. And when you tear that thing down, don't you put that thing back up. The greatest miracle that happened during the Exodus, when God turned the land to darkness and caused locusts to plague the land and turn the water into blood. That was miraculous. When the death angel killed the sons of Egypt and when that he caused gnats and flies to fall on the ground, that was crazy. God even parted the Red Sea, but that was not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is when the Red Sea came down and the children of Israel could not go back to their bondage. Close the door. Close the door in the spirit. Right now. Begin to offer unto God. God, I repent. God, I consecrate myself to you. God, I dedicate myself to you. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, I bring it into captivity. I bring it under the subjection of God. I kill that thing. I curse you in the name of Jesus. I hate you and I drive you back to hell from whence you came.